You point to the core of the Ketchikan invitation, and the motion made by the Ketchikan delegates that Lawrence Clark be tasked to accept the invitation of Anchorage as the place of the 45th convention. Are you ready for the question? All in favor, vote for the usual sign. Opposed? The ayes have it, the motion is carried, and so ordered. So, Anchorage is the next place of the convention. Set forth. I've listened to it, but I cannot recall them.
September 28th, 29th, 30th, and October 1st, 1961.
Do I hear any argument about that from the floor? I'm ready for a motion then to set the dates.
I'd like to make a motion that we accept the dates recommended by Anchorage Eagle and also that's our next convention dates.
Do I hear a second to motion?
Second.
It's moved and seconded that the dates of the next convention, the 45th, shall be September 28th. 29, 30, and October 1, 1961. Are you ready for the question? All in favor, vote for the usual method. Any opposition? Motion's carried and so ordered. Those are your dates. Now with all that, I'm going to hold it. Take a little rest. Please recess until 2 o'clock.
End of the second half of second day session.
Joe, the mic's yours.
Okay, this is a grand opportunity for me to have heard something that is just thrilling all the way through because of the importance. And that is to preserve the documents that we have. I had realized this for a long time, but not as much as it became ingrained in me during those years when I was with the Arctic Institute of North America and found that what a little secret in a document may be in the field of research to help carry on. You know that the documents that you folks have are a part of the story about the survival of the fittest. You had to survive, and you were on the trail. You did these things, and hidden in your records are these things. And today, when I heard the chair here make the announcement first, let's preserve these. I was just thrilled, and then to hear that such wonderful people, as old Doc Chase and others, they all fell into the same thing. And now, I feel so strongly that they should go, as was suggested by the chair, they go to the University of Alaska. There is the state institution. There is the pioneer school or institution of higher learning in the state. Everything fits in. But the big secret is, then it's available for researchers as you and the people that will follow to make them available for research. And I was so thrilled. And if it's appropriate for me to do so, so it's on record and we don't lose these valuable documents, I'd like to move at this time that the recommendation of the chair that these records be preserved through the appropriate committee, arrangement be made with the University of Alaska to preserve them for use as the pioneer sea fit in research, etc.
So much.
Thank you, Joe.
I'd like to second that.
It is moved and seconded that the record pioneers be placed with the University of Alaska for safekeeping and available for all future generations. Anybody like to speak on that question?
Thank you.
say that in that respect, must take into consideration that the Grand Recorder, the Grand Secretary, and the trustees, the Grand Trustees, that title to all property that the Grand is due, the records are in the possession of the Grand Recorder and the Grand Secretary, and under our Constitution, must be under their control. And this particular motion would require that the Grand Recorder, Grand Secretary, the trustee, and the new coming president work together in making a preservation of the records. Now that's constitutional, and there's nothing else to do about changing. But I do believe, Carl, that the best possible safe place is the best place we are looking for. So if the motion should pass, then that is going to be one of your further obligations after you're installed, as to arrange for that with your Grand Trustees, the Grand Recorder, Grand Secretary, and of course with the Grand Historian and the University officials. They may not want, we can't force them on. So if the motion passes, that is what you have to do if you follow up. Now, an explanation, if anybody else wishes to comment further. Are you ready for questions?
Yes.
All in favor of the motion, raise your right hand. Contrary? No, thank you, folks. I don't say contrary. I don't get time to try. No. The motion is carried and so on. So now, Carl, we've got some more work for you. We're starting to get there.
Madam President, I'd like to present from the resolution committee, resolution number 4. And I thank the band secretary if she'd lead that today.
Resolution number 4. Resolution of thanks. Be it resolved that the 44th Annual Convention of the Grand Igloo Pioneers of Alaska, in convention assembled at Seward, Alaska, hereby express our deep-felt thanks and appreciation to all those who have helped make this convention a success. With special thanks to, number 1, to the officers and members of Igloo 9 and Auxiliary 9, Seward, for the months of planning and arranging and scheduling this grand convention. Number 2, to the merchants and citizens of Seward for their warm welcome and hospitality and their exceptional window displays during this convention time. Number 3, to the members of the American Legion Auxiliary for the lovely luncheons served to the pioneer women and those who spent many hours preparing the favors and place cards. Number 4, to the American Legion and the Seward Elks Club for their cocktail parties. Number 5, to the city officials and other fraternal organizations cooperating and assisting in making this convention a success. Number 6, to those who arranged the outstanding smorgasbord and the banquet. Number 7, to the members of the Ketchikan Pioneer Band for their fine music, not only during the grand ball, but also with the cocktail parties. Number 8, and to the citizens of Seward who have been so solicitous as to our member from Ketchikan who suffered an accident here and who have made a special effort to make him comfortable at the hospital. It leaves space for the Grand President to sign and the Grand Secretary. The Resolutions Committee recommend the adoption of this resolution signed by Thorwald Oswald, Audrey Loftus, Dora M. Sweeney, Charles B. Jones, Willa Shellhorn, and W.C. Arnold.
Brothers and sisters, that is not a resolution which in any way pertains to the policy of the Grand Union as subject to immediate vote. Secretary of the instructed that sign. Are you ready for the question? All in favor, vote in the usual manner. Those opposed? The motion is carried, so ordered. Hand that to me or sign it right now.
Well, you can read it. You probably read it.
I would like to move that the incoming Grand President appoint a committee to investigate the feasibility and possibility of the Pioneers of Alaska and Auxiliaries erecting and operating their own pioneer home and report back to the next Grand Igloo Convention in 1961.
Thank you.
That was a motion made by Sick Rule.
Yeah, that was a motion made by Sick.
And seconded by August Dager.
Seconded by August Dager.
Now, do you want me to read it again? Except to show you that it's not requiring any affirmative act by the delegation this time. All it does is the Grand President appoint a committee to investigate the feasibility and possibility of Pioneer's Alaskan auxiliary erecting and operating their own Pioneer home and report back to the 1961 convention. Do you want to do it or not?
Motion has been made and seconded.
Bob Gordon, Michigan. What is the thinking behind that, if I may ask, you tend to not put anybody in the Pioneer home in Sitka now, or what?
The Alaska shop with the words, "Welcome, Pioneers."
Without letting you go, I'm going to shop the Grand Secretary to recognize and give the appropriate thanks to the donor.
standing committee. And his report has been made. I'll ask the grand secretary to read the report.
Ithioma County Grand Secretary Conyers Velasca and Convention Seward Velasca. From Robert R. Gore, First Vice President, Ketchikan, Igloo Number 16, Ketchikan, Alaska. The subject, availability of emergency medical funds. The background. After Ketchikan, Igloo Number 16 introduced a resolution during the Grand Igloo Session of 1959 at Nome, asking that legislature be introduced at a state level for the provision of funds for pioneers who are unable to meet the cost of medical or necessary hospital emergency care with the welfare or social security payments they receive from the state or federal government. Grand President Arthur Lutro appointed the writer as a committee of one to investigate the present availability of such funds and the possibility of instituting further action on a state level if necessary. After correspondence with the state director of the Department of Welfare and conference with the local agent in charge of the Ketchikan Welfare Department office, we were informed that such funds for emergency medical care or hospitalization are available on application from the Department of Welfare when such application is substantiated by the attending physician concerned with the case. We were also advised that the reluctance on the part of those in need of such funds to make application is the most frequent cause of those in need going without necessary medical or hospital care. This reluctance stems from the fact that many of our pioneers feel that application for such funds is asking for charity, and they are too independent or proud to do so. In order to dispel the idea that these benefits are charity, and in order to point out that they are in fact payments to which they are entitled to under the law, we made arrangements with the local agent of the Welfare Department to appear in open meeting before our igloo to explain the laws governing that department and the disbursement of funds, and to answer any questions that individual members might raise. This was a well-attended meeting and quite successful due to the fact that many of our older members felt more at ease in talking to the Welfare Department agent at our own igloo than they would have had in the departmental office. The benefits of this meeting are apparent in the fact that we have a closer cooperation from our members in assisting them to apply for benefits to which they are entitled. Securing increases in monthly payments for those who were only receiving amounts necessary for bare subsistence, and facilitating application and entrance into the SIPCA pioneer home. Following this meeting with the Department of Welfare, we next arranged for a representative of the Social Security Program to meet with the igloo and discuss the eligibility requirements and most recent changes in the Social Security laws. In this conference, many of our members found that due to the changes in the laws, that they were eligible for benefits that they had not realized were due then, and that application for such benefits could be accomplished without the confusion of red tape previously existing under this program. Consequently, it is our suggestion that all igloos set up a program for the benefit of their members and invite representatives of the Welfare Department and Social Security Program to appear before them in open meeting and explain the benefits and payments to which they are entitled to under the various state and federal laws. Respectfully submitted, Robert R. Gore.
Well, thank you very much, Bob, for the report.
Grand President, brothers and sisters, I might elaborate a little bit on this report. We really got something accomplished down there for some of our members who we had quite a problem with. We have a few of them down here. As I mentioned in the report, I think too darn stubborn to ask for help. And we'll find that they're living down on little boats, down on boat base or something like that. They have no food. They're in need of medical care, or they should be in the hospital. And we have a dickens of a time trying to help them to help themselves. And we were really quite successful in bringing these people out into the open where they would go and talk to the Social Security people and more especially the welfare people. The monies are available there if they would go and ask for it, but they just don't like to make applications. They feel that they're asking for charity. As you all know, a bunch of pioneers is a pretty doggone independent bunch. Especially some of these old Congress we got down there. It's the same way all over the whole state. We felt that we did do an awful lot for our older members that way. And I really do recommend it if you have the same problem that we have, where you have people on pensions, either Social Security or welfare, who are in need of medical attention or hospitalization or extra funds to get along. If you can convince them by getting them in to talk to the welfare official, that it really isn't a difficult thing to do, and that it's something that they are entitled to under the law, they'll go along with you. That's kind of a tough job too. The business of having these welfare people and the Social Security people attend an open meeting where you can get the old-timers to ask some questions, where they won't feel embarrassed. It really works out. I think it's done a lot of good down here in our area. My own office is located right in the central part of town, not too far from the building which the welfare office is located. And I have noticed, since we have started cooperating with these welfare people and trying to get our own boys helped out, that my calls from the welfare office have increased quite a bit. They Max B and Max Gilbert is quite close to their office. They'll call Max want us to come up there and tell us that they finally have an application from one of our countries, what we can do for them, and think quite a lot. I think it's a worthwhile project for every aid group, especially in the Social Security business, because those Social Security laws have changed quite a bit. And an open meeting to discuss the changes in the laws will reveal that quite a few members are eligible for benefits that they have no idea were coming. I might say that when Brother Lutro asked me to take over this matter and see what I can do, we get quite a bit done down in Kingston. I'm not going to brag about this, but just for example, I would like to, I'm sure you all know that both presidential candidates now have come along with the same idea to help out the old guys. I don't claim credit for that, but we do get a lot done in Kingston.
This man is born in dip off the old line.
Now, do you have any further correspondence, Madam Secretary?
Pioneer Convention, Seward, Alaska. Our thoughts are with you as you deliberate today for the good of our wonderful state. We extend best wishes to both outgoing and incoming officers for another year and hope to see you next year. Pioneer Auxiliary No. 1 and Pioneer Igloo No. 1, Nome, Alaska.
I understand that Mike walked white. You know, you have to read, but not the
my appreciation to Harry Hughes for this recording system that he set up for us. That, of course, takes it just as we say it, not as I write. And that's going to be quite advantageous, particularly to video when she starts to write her notes on my own passing remark. Of course, I might not delete some of it, but I can't do it under that tape system. I've got to take it as it's heard, not as I want. Read. So, Harry.
Yes.
We extend our thanks. But I want, at the same time, to extend our thanks to you and your partner putting on motion pictures. They were very, very enjoyable, and we do express our thanks.
That's good.
Now, Bob's report will be placed on file. And he may have an extra thought there. And first, if you have a difficulty with the welfare people and the social security people, is to get a hold of their local representatives first and see if it can be worked out. If it worked in Texas, then the reason why it didn't work in other What else do you have? Do you have anything?
Resolutions.
We had the report of nominations.
Report of the trustees.
Yes. Trustees have a report. Well, just so we'll handle one, I'll take prerogative of them and report the progress. Who is the president, the chairman of the board of trustees?
They have, the trustees are Axel Edmond and Sal Urey are the 1 years, and the 2 years is Bob Korn, Axel Edmond, 3 years Howard Staber, and Max McGilvery.
Doing all right as they've been born to do, so, and they tell you who it was.
Mr. President and members, to Bob Korn and Max McGilvery, I gave them copies of Linus and my report as to what we have on hand. So that that has already been read, and they know that we have it, so that will help their report.
Yeah. We have something already, so that'll be all right. This time, I want to congratulate Grand Lakeview on the election, the choice, selection, and election of your next grand officer. I know that you're going to be well pleased with their work. I know that Carl Ostep is efficient, capable, and will get things done. Because I've had the pleasure of working with him. No reason for him to change his method of doing things. You're going to get it done, and I'm sure you're going to make a very successful grand president. Now, Carl, at the same time, I want to congratulate you on being a grand president. I wish you would fill me in that. These are my personal
congratulations. The other officers are elected. But of course, you've got the work to do. And the longer you go on here, there's going to be more for you to do. So if you can help a master on a journey, well, find the only way I've got a chance. One day, Carl, you said you were chosen to the highest office that the pioneer of the last can give to anyone in the bishop. There is something that you will always cherish, just as I do, as I know the past grand president of you. It can only happen once in a lifetime, you. It cannot happen to all men. So that you have a selection as the rest of us have had, which itself is a very, very high honor. So I wish in my congratulations, or I wish you all the best wishes and any help I may be able to give you. All you have to do is write me. Some resolutions which have been filed long enough to be voted upon. Will you read one, number one, or you need the whole thing read or just by title? I'll have to read it by title, and if you are not satisfied, you can read it by text.
Resolution one, proposed by Grand President Lester O. Gore. Proposed amendment to Constitution of the Pioneers of Alaska as to title to property. Do you want the red open read?
No, not unless they ask me. What is the pleasure of the floor? You wish it all read, or do you want to put it up to vote?
I move that it be read for title only, and I would second the motion for this resolution. Paul Grant, Fairbanks, Igloo, number four.
This adoption has not yet been moved. You want to move for that?
Move for the
adoption. No, I move the adoption
number one. Well, between the two of them, they've got it moved, so it's one of the other can do the seconding as far as the record is concerned. I'll call for the question. All in favor, raise the right hand. Any opposed, the same sign. Motion carried, so ordered. What's the next resolution, if any, in point of time?
Resolution number two, submitted by Igloo number 15, Anchorage. Proposed resolution regarding changes in the Constitution of the Grand Igloo as to Article 3, Section 6. It is proposed to delete part of Section 6 in its entirety. It is proposed to delete Section 6 in its entirety and to substitute the following.
Well, I want to read that, President Murphy.
President, I move that the resolution be adopted.
I was going to read it. There's a motion on the floor. Is it seconded?
I'll second.
Then are you ready for the question, or do you want to go ahead?
My question.
Well, the question is called for. All in favor of the adoption of the resolution, show the right hand sign. Any opposition, same sign. No opposition, the motion is carried, so ordered.
Who seconded it, please?
Resolution number three.
Number three?